Good evening. This is Justin Ford for From the Frontline. Tonight we are dealing with Catan, unraveling one of the many secrets of the Second World War. In the studio with me is Dr. Peter Hammond, the founder of Frontline Fellowship, who has been involved in serving persecuted Christians for over 40 years in 38 countries. The Second World War ended almost 80 years ago, yet we continue to have research and discoveries proving that we have been lied to about many established facts in the so-called history books. The Katyn Forest Massacre in 1940 is one of those events. You have traveled to Poland, Dr. Hammond, and undertaken quite extensive research into this matter. What have you found?
Well, in fact, first of all, I should say I was very fortunate to have, as my first history teacher in high school in Bulawayo, Rhodesia, Mr. Rhys Davies, who is a member of Parliament, whose father actually got detained without trial, although he's a member of Parliament in Britain, by Churchill. He is one of 50,000 British people detained without trial during the Second World War, which included generals, members of the House of Lords, admirals, all guilty of something or another, such as supporting peace talks or something that Churchill thought was good enough to have a person stripped of their rights and thrown to prison without trial, that is. So Mr. Rhys Davies was a member of Parliament in Rhodesia. I asked him, "Sir, how can you be a member of Parliament and a school teacher?" And he said, "Well, we don't get paid for being members of Parliament. It's an honorary position. You know, we're donating our time. We need a real job too." And he started off my history in first history class in high school, Beware the Victor's Version. Wartime propaganda morphs into peacetime textbooks. And he said, "You know that the British government is lying now about South Africa and Rhodesia, lying about us now. Why would you trust anything they've got to say about the Second World War, the First World War, the Anglo-Boer War, anything else?" And I didn't fully understand, of course, the implications of what he was saying, but he opened my eyes to the fact that the official version is often a lie. He often said, "Do your own research, think outside the box, don't regurgitate the textbook." And, well, I found that one of the most extraordinary mysteries, conspiracies, and disinformation campaigns in history has finally been exposed, implicating numerous popular, prominent heads of state in the atrocities and the subsequent cover-up scandals, which are vast. A complex edifice of deception has been thoroughly dismantled by patient and persistent perseverance and pressure. And so Katyn has a lot to teach us, which has implications for so many things around the world.
How did you come to be involved in investigating the Katyn Forest Massacre?
Well, I've been a missionary to persecuted church, and it was my joy and privilege to minister behind the Iron Curtain during the Cold War years, when the Iron Curtain was up behind the Berlin Wall, and I had the privilege of marrying into the Bathman family, and Bill Bathman took me on missions to 27 countries. So I had the privilege of traveling with a man who is a contemporary of Richard Wurmbrand, Brother Andrew, friends with him. In fact, my wife, Lenora, was brought up with people like Brother Andrew and Richard Wurmbrand around the dining room table. And Bill Bathman was particularly popular in Poland, and so I traveled with him into Poland. And on a mission to Poland, I saw a monument to the victims of the Katyn Forest Massacre, and it said 1940. So I innocently asked, "Don't you mean 1941? And there was real anger and outrage, and a Pole turned on me saying, "Surely you don't believe the Soviet propaganda. Don't you believe the communist propaganda?" And they challenged me, and I didn't know what they were talking about. And the Polish Christians were very agitated about my ignorance on this matter. And so they started to give me an education. And my understanding of the Second World War changed dramatically after ministering to persecuted church throughout Eastern Europe. Nobody in Eastern Europe thinks of the Second World War the way Hollywood presents it. You know, they'd say things to me like, "You betrayed us." "What do you mean we betrayed you?" "Well, the British, the Americans, you allies, you betrayed us." "What do you mean betrayed you? Haven't you heard of Yalta? The Allies betrayed Eastern Europe, 11 different nations, 150 million Christians, into the hands of Stalin, the worst mass-murdering dictator in history, in name of democracy and freedom. You said you were fighting for Western Christian civilization, but you were fighting against it and you betrayed it. What freedom and democracy did we ever get?" And they said, take, for example, Great Britain and France declared war on Germany 3rd of September 1939, starting the Second World War, because ostensibly Germany had invaded Poland. But Russia had also invaded Poland in September 1939. And then they had, but of course, most history books omit that fact. Indeed, they do admit that fact. I don't remember ever reading that Soviet Union invaded Poland in September 1939. I had to learn that in Poland. And the Katyn Forest massacre I knew about because our textbook said the German army murdered the Polish officer corps. Katyn Forest massacre was done by Germany. I knew that from our school textbooks. And so I have this Polish person open a map of Europe and he says, point out Katyn for me on the map. Look further east, no, further east, no. Look near Smolensk, ah, there I find Katyn. Look, they said, Katyn is closer to Moscow than it is to Warsaw. How could the Germans have possibly been responsible for the Katyn Forest massacre? It's deep in Soviet territory, and of course it really is. And then they said, have you ever seen a map of where the Katyn Forest massacre took place in any of your school textbooks? No, of course not. Nobody ever showed you where Katyn is, because the moment you look at it, the whole story falls apart. How on earth could the German army be responsible for the Katyn Forest massacre when it's near Smolensk? It's pretty close to Moscow, actually. So the story is basically over 22,000 Polish prisoners of war, including more than 8,000 officers, were murdered in cold blood by the Soviet NKVD in the spring of 1940. Now, when this crime was discovered, Stalin's Soviet Union was an ally of Great Britain and the United States of America. Therefore, they found it more convenient to attribute this Russian atrocity to their German enemies. You know, so much easier. And if you question it, you're a traitor and you get locked up. So, you know, quite easy to have gotten away with that at that time.
So this is actually quite a scandalous narrative. Didn't the Nuremberg Tribunal indict the Germans for the Soviet atrocity?
Indeed, they did. The Polish Christians informed me that the British, the Americans, and the French chose to participate in judicial fraud at the Nuremberg trials by indicting the German army, the Wehrmacht, with what were plainly communist atrocities committed by Soviet Russia. And in December 1941, the head of the Polish government in exile, General Władysław Sikorski, he inquired of the Soviet dictator, Joseph Stalin, what's become of the Polish prisoners of war that were captured by the Soviets during the invasion of Poland in September 1939? And Stalin suavely assured Sikorski that all Polish prisoners of war had been released. And he said some might have moved to Manchuria. Now, if you look on a map, Manchuria is like the furthest end of Asia, just opposite from Alaska, basically. So that's just very cynical, because Stalin knew very well what had happened to Polish prisoners of war, and they hadn't been released into anything except a mass grave.
And so how did the truth come out?
Well, in 1943, a German intelligence officer on the Eastern Front, Rudolf von Gersendorf, serving with the Abwehr, received reports about mass graves of Polish military officers near Katyn. Of course, the locals and the Russians knew about it. And so, interrogating prisoners, he found out about this. And they found a ditch 28 meters long, 16 meters wide, and they found the bodies of 3,000 Polish officers piled up in 12 layers. And this was only the first of many such graves to be unearthed. So the German soldiers unearthed mass graves with thousands of Polish officers who had been massacred in the Katyn Forest near Smolensk. And then they started to find evidence of more war crimes and atrocities committed in other mass graves spread out across the Eastern Front. But this was the first one. So we often speak about the Katyn Forest massacre, but we're talking about a whole series of other massacres spread across. But it was the entire Polish officer corps and NCOs. It was the leadership of Poland, include intellectuals, professors, chaplains, naval officers, air force officers. It was absolutely staggering. Basically, they took the cream of Poland and the whole intelligentsia and wiped them out with a 9mm bullet in the base of the neck. Precision executions. And the German government announced the discovery of the mass graves in Katyn Forest, and then the London-based Polish government in exile under General Sikorski immediately requested an investigation by the International Committee of the Red Cross. And by the way, the International Committee of the Red Cross did go and investigate as well. And so immediately Stalin severed diplomatic relations with the Polish government in exile, claiming the victims had been murdered by the Nazis. Now, this sort of reminds us of when the government of Mugabe in Zimbabwe, the communist government of ZANU-PF, they claimed that the massacre that everyone knew they'd always done of the English Elam missionaries at Pentecostal missionaries from England at Elam in the Vumba mountains of eastern Rhodesia, that that had actually been done by the Rhodesian soldiers of the Zulu Scouts, and then locked up anybody who wanted to run a investigation or who wanted to do a memorial service. So it was banned to do a memorial service. Well, if You think your enemies did it. Why do you ban anyone investigating? Why do you ban anyone running a memorial service? Mm-hmm. You weren't even allowed to put up a memorial for the people who were murdered at the Vumba under Mugabe, Zimbabwe, or for that matter, Mnangagwa's. Here's Stalin saying, no, well, the Nazis did it. And then he severs diplomatic relations with the Polish government in exile for wanting to investigate it.
Yeah, sounds like a communist takeover when they kill all the intellectuals and the elite of the society.
Yeah, even those who supported them.
Mm. Surely it would have been appropriate at this point to have an international investigation conducted by neutral entities?
Indeed. Actually, surprisingly, that was done. So the German government brought in a European commission of 12 forensic experts and their staff from Belgium, Bulgaria, Denmark, Finland, France, Italy, Croatia, the Netherlands, Romania, Sweden, which was completely neutral, Slovakia, and Hungary. There were even Polish, American, and British prisoners of war included in the investigation. So, and the Red Cross also came to investigate. And the reports of these neutral investigators confirmed the victims were Polish officers, Polish NCOs, and intellectuals. They saw that they could see, even though the bodies had decayed, the uniforms, the badges, the crucifixes, the rosaries, the different Polish coins and stamps and letters and all that sort of thing, diaries, Bibles, prayer books. There was so much evidence they could see without a shadow of a doubt these were Polish officers, Polish NCOs, and they were victims of Russian forces, the caliber of the weapons, Russian Makarovs and Tokarovs being used and so on. And when the Polish government in exile insisted in bringing this matter before the International Red Cross, General Sikorsky died in an aircraft crash, 4th of July 1943 in Gibraltar, an event that was described as convenient to the Allied leaders. And there have been books and documentary films made of the assassination of General Sikorsky. In fact, the Polish people are absolutely convinced their leader was murdered by the British and Americans in order to cover up this atrocity, which was obviously done by their ally, the Soviet Union. And you just think, for example, General Sikorsky was ordered by Churchill to fly out to Alexandria in Egypt to visit and do goodwill tour of Polish forces that were fighting with the 8th Army in the Western Desert. And on the way back, his aircraft, which was an American so-called Liberator, that's the name of the American bomber aircraft he was traveling in, it took off, crashed within seconds of taking off, and the only survivor was the pilot. He was a Czech pilot, by the way. Interestingly enough, I mean, most aircraft crashes, the pilot's the first to die, just the way impacts work. And somehow everybody in the plane, including the daughter of General Sikorsky, dies. Not one survivor. And interestingly, the scuba divers who went to investigate and recover the bodies, they couldn't recover the bodies somehow, but the leader of that scuba gear group, which is British Special Forces chap, that officer died in a horrible accident which completely mangled his face, that you couldn't even tell if it was him who had died. But that's what came out. The cover-up was spectacular, and the Polish people to this day are convinced their British allies murdered their general.
Oh, that's quite shocking. Could the Allies have really been so treacherous as to assassinate the leader of their Polish ally in order to suppress embarrassing and inconvenient facts about their Soviet ally, Joseph Stalin?
Well, yes, it's not like they haven't done things like that before. And there are all kinds of treacherous examples of assassinations of friends and allies. But looking at one of the facts, most of the highly confidential correspondence of Prime Minister Winston Churchill and President Franklin Delano Roosevelt have been released, but not June and July of 1943. Those correspondences are still sealed. No journalists, no historians have allowed access to it. So the communications immediately prior to and after this assassination are still off limits for any researcher or historian, and still sealed as most secret. So to think that we're over 80 years from the event, and yet you still can't read what Churchill and Roosevelt were saying to one another at that time. That's extremely suspicious.
So given this scandalous track record in deception and duplicity, how have Russian leaders in recent times responded to this war crime atrocity?
Yeah, the Soviets hastened to orchestrate an alternative Soviet version of the now disclosed massacre to claim the Polish prisoners of war had been massacred, but not by the Soviets, but by the Germans, the Nazis, as they called them. Nikolai Budenko, the president of the Soviet Academy of Medicine, presided over a commission appointed by Stalin to investigate the incident. So the chief murderer, Stalin, appoints his own investigator. And Budenko claimed to have interviewed more than 100 eyewitnesses who swore the Nazis had massacred the Polish POWs in autumn 1941. Not that any of them could have possibly been eyewitnesses, but anyway, they claimed they were eyewitnesses. Mm. At the Nuremberg Tribunal of 1945 to 1946, the German military were proclaimed guilty of shooting Polish prisoners of war in the Katyn Forest. So the Soviet version of the Katyn massacre moved from wartime propaganda into school history books. The Germans shot the Polish prisoners of war in Katyn Forest in 1941. Not that they'd actually got any chance to have done that, but anyway, because the Soviets actually got rid of all prisoners before the Germans could advance, either killed them or they moved them beyond the Ural. So that wasn't a possible scenario, but that was the propaganda. Now, this Polish-Soviet crisis threatened Western Soviet relations, and British Prime Minister Winston Churchill and US President Franklin Roosevelt were torn between their commitment to their Polish ally. I mean, ostensibly, the war's being fought for Poland. You know, that's the propaganda. But now, of course, Stalin's more important to them, and who cares about Poland? So in private, Churchill agreed the atrocity was most likely carried out by the Soviets. According to Edward Racknazi, Churchill admitted on 15th April 1943, during a conversation with General Sikorsky, "Alas, the German revelations are probably true. The Bolsheviks can be very cruel." However, on 24th of April 1943, Churchill assured the Soviets, "We will certainly oppose vigorously any investigation by the International Red Cross or any other body." And in classified UK documents concluded, the Soviet guilt was a near certainty, but the alliance with the Soviets was deemed to be more important than the moral issue. The moral issue. You know, murdering 22,000 people is a moral issue, I guess. The official version parroted the Soviet propaganda, and the censors suppressed all contradictory reports. Well, the British Foreign Secretary pointed out several inconsistencies and near impossibilities in the Soviet version. And interestingly, if you look at Churchill's Second World War history, and he's got a six-volume series, and I've got all of those volumes, Churchill skirts over the Katyn Forest massacre with one sentence. The 1944 Soviet inquiry attributed guilt to the Germans, and he added, "Belief seems an act of faith." So he knew probably that the truth's going to get out, and he wanted his stature as a historian to be respected. So obviously, if he believed that the Germans were responsible, he would have given a few paragraphs. But because he knew the Soviets, that he just gives one sentence and gives this cryptic comment, "Belief seems an act of faith," indicating he didn't really believe that the Germans did the Katyn Forest massacre, even though his people were locking up members of parliament for questioning it and assassinating the Polish general for wanting to investigate it. And then, on the American side, U.S. Navy Lieutenant Commander George Early, he produced a report concluding the massacres were definitely committed by the Soviet Union. So President Roosevelt ordered Early's report to be suppressed. This is the land of the free, you know, where freedom of speech is meant to be entrenched in the First Amendment and so on. Well, Early formally requested permission to publish his findings, and the President of America issued a written order forbidding it. And then Early was reassigned and spent the rest of the war in the remote island of American Samoa. It's like about as far away from anything you could get in the Pacific Islands, so that he had no contact with the outside world. Well, there were two senior American prisoners of war that the Germans took to Katyn to take part in the investigation: Lieutenant Colonel Donald Stewart and Colonel John Van Fleet. And they were taken to Katyn, and they participated in an international investigation. Their report they submitted, and it was fully released in 1945, the Soviets were definitely responsible for the massacre. George Marshall, who was America's chief of staff, he destroyed the report. And during 1951-1952 congressional investigations, General Bissell, who was the head of intelligence, Major General George Bissell, defended this action before Congress, saying it was not in America's interest to antagonize the Soviet Union, which was America's ally. So they destroyed a report by their own colonels because it embarrassed the Soviet Union. And so the Americans and the British were both embarrassed by what the Soviets had done, and they covered up for them, and they destroyed people's freedom and even people's lives who attempted to report on the facts. Well, can you imagine what people must have thought when the Soviets included the Katyn Forest Massacre in the list of war crimes attributed to the German military at the Nuremberg trials? The Soviet general Roman Rudenko, who was one of the prosecutors in the Nuremberg tribunal, stated, "One of the most important criminal acts for which major war criminals are responsible was the mass execution of Polish prisoners of war shot in the Katyn Forest near Smolensk by the German fascist invaders." He described Katyn as the worst massacre of prisoners of war in history, which it was, but this is barefaced hypocrisy. This accusation is classic. All present at the trial, including the one making the accusation, knew this was judicial farce and fraud. And, you know, what a disgrace. Nuremberg Tribunal was considered disgraced by people like Field Marshal Montgomery, who said, "It's just not cricket, it's just not done. You don't put on trial and hang your enemies for losing. It's just unacceptable. We've never done this in war ever before. And we didn't do this with the French after the Napoleonic Wars. We didn't do this with anyone before. It's just, you can't behave like this." They didn't even do that to the Boer commandos in the Anglo-Boer War. They were willing to kill their family members in the concentration camps, but they didn't put generals on trial, or commandants or anything like that. So the Black Book of Censorship in the Soviet Union's puppet state of Poland expressly stated, "Any attempt to burden the Soviet Union with the responsibility for the deaths of Polish officers in Katyn Forest is forbidden." So this is the Book of Censorship in the People's Republic of Poland. Now, further evidence that everyone knew who was responsible was that even the most simple memorial erected in Poland, such as Katyn 1940, was confiscated by police and destroyed. The Polish practice was to erect memorial crosses on All Saints' Day, and these were also dismantled, always dismantled, by the police. So if Katyn had really been a Nazi atrocity, it would not have been taboo in a communist-controlled country to commemorate the victims. Not only did the Soviet Union forbid any monuments to be erected to victims of the Katyn Forest Massacre, but the British government objected to plans to erect a Katyn monument in the UK, where many Polish refugees were living. I mean, imagine that. The British wouldn't even allow you to erect a monument to the Katyn Massacre victims. In the 1960s, the Soviets launched a disinformation offensive to sidetrack the persistent accusations of the Soviet atrocities and massacres, which were known throughout the whole of Eastern Europe. So a village in Belarus, White Russia, called Katyn, K-H-A-T-Y-N, which name is very similar to Katyn, was chosen as a site for a memorial to commemorate the victims of Nazi atrocities, quote unquote. Apparently, 149 Katyn villages had been massacred by Ukrainian and Belarus soldiers, but because they were allied with the Nazis, that was good enough. So this Katyn memorial became an obligatory stop for all foreign visitors, and this disinformation campaign scored a major success in 1974 when they conned US President Richard Nixon to come to Katyn, K-H-A-T-Y-N, to remember the Polish victims of the Nazis, even though no Germans were actually involved in this so-called massacre. If it had even happened, it was attributed to Ukrainian and Belarus soldiers, but doesn't matter. From this time on, all Soviet publications replaced Katyn with Katyn with H, and they included this in the Polish encyclopedias and historical dictionaries. So just like George Orwell speaks about in 1984, you change history. Rewriting a history, everything's changed.
When you were ministering behind the Iron Curtain into Eastern Europe, how did the people there respond to you as a South African?
Well, actually, that is very interesting, because the people there were very positive about South Africa, and they told me a part of our history that I wasn't even aware of. The Polish Christians remind me that only the South African Air Force flew in weapons and aid to the Polish underground during the Warsaw Uprising. And I was surprised, because I'd read that the Royal Air Force had done this, but that was another lie. It was actually the South African Air Force were the only ones, and they flew from Italy across Central Europe, facing horrendous anti-aircraft fire. Very few made it, and even few made it back. And the South Africans were remembered in Poland as the only ones who flew any aid to them. But because of apartheid, historians were now expunging South Africa's role and replacing it with the RAF. Just like the liberation of Abyssinia in the Second World War was done by the South African Springbok Legion. And that got moved out of the history books, because South Africa is now unpopular and embarrassing that Ethiopia, headquarters for the Organization of African Unity, had been liberated from the Italians by the South Africans. So, in fact, more embarrassing that the South Africans had abolished slavery in Ethiopia. Slavery was still operational in Ethiopia until 1941, when the South Africans abolished it. before withdrawing. And so they'd removed Salif Gilead because, and you might recall the Battle of Britain film, which is probably one of the slickest propaganda films ever made in history. The top Allied fighter ace of all time was Sailor Malan, who is a South African. Adolf Malan, they called him Sailor Malan to get rid of the fact that his first name was Adolf. But Sailor Malan was the top fighter ace, and he is South African, actually of Huguenot background. And in the Battle of Britain film, they had Robert Shaw playing the role of Sailor Malan. But they removed the South Africa emblem that's on the side of the shoulder, on the shoulder flash, which plainly said South Africa, from the uniform that Robert Shaw wore. And then also, he didn't speak with a South African accent, but a British accent. And so to camouflage the fact in the 1960s that South Africa had the top Allied fighter ace in the Battle of Britain, and in fact throughout the whole war, they expunged all reference to the South African pilot. And, you know, this is the same kind of nonsense. Conforming to politically correct dictates in history books is very disturbing. Well, the Polish citizens strenuously objected to the suggestion that they'd been liberated by the Soviets on occupying Poland. And they said, in fact, the Soviets, on the very first act of occupying Poland, was to arrest all leaders of the underground army and the government. And the Polish Christians pointed out that most of the atrocities attributed to the Germans were actually communist atrocities committed by the Soviets, and conveniently blamed on the enemies who weren't allowed to defend themselves anyway. I mean, you question this, you're a Nazi, you're a reactionary, you're a propagandist for the enemy, and you got arrested. Whether you were in Britain or Russia, it didn't make any difference. And so the Polish victims and relatives of the victims continue to urge the European Court of Human Rights to rule on the war crimes of the Stalin's regime. And finally, in 2011, the European Court of Human Rights declared admissible two complaints of relatives of the massacre victims against Russia concerning the inadequacy of the investigations, to put it nicely. In a ruling on 16 April 2012, the court found Russia had violated the rights of the victims' relatives, and they described the Soviet massacre as a war crime. It took 72 years to bring these facts to light, but facts are stubborn things.
Has there been any official response from the contemporary post-Soviet Russian state that you know of?
Yes, indeed. To Vladimir Putin, this is, of course, a very inconvenient truth, and it taints Russia's wartime heroism. Mm. And, of course, he's a nationalist. Mm. But Putin's chief military prosecutor, Alexander Savinkov, issued a ruling on Katyn, 11th of May 2005, in which he acknowledged the NKVD troika, including Stalin, found 14,542 Polish citizens held in NKVD camps guilty of committing state crimes and made decision to shoot them all in the spring of 1940. And so Putin's government representative claims the Soviet officials abused their authority, but that no criminal case could be opened against them because the guilty parties have since died. So they've acknowledged who's responsible. Mm. The Polish claims of genocide were rejected, though, and although they agreed to hand over 67 of the 183 volumes of evidence, two-thirds of the remaining evidence has yet to be released. It's still classified. Now, the Polish government was so outraged, and it demanded that Russia's Katyn archives all be declassified, and the Russian courts must rule that the Katyn Forest Massacre was an act of genocide. And the communists throughout the world would, of course, prefer the Katyn truth to remain buried with the corpses. But the Christians in Poland and Christians throughout Eastern Europe are determined to exhume the secrets and to expose the true nature of Soviet communism. And human rights societies continue to pressure the Russian government until, in November 2010, under Vladimir Putin, the Russian Duma approved the declaration blaming Stalin and the other Soviet officials of having personally ordered the massacre of all Polish prisoners of war. But this is only after the disastrous plane crash of Polish leaders en route to Katyn for the 70th anniversary commemoration. So 2010, 70 years after the 1940 atrocity, the death flight. And 10th of April 2010, an aircraft carrying the Polish president, Lech Kaczynski, his wife, and 87 other politicians, high-ranking army officers, the whole leadership of Poland, basically, crashed near Smolensk, killing all 96 on board. And the passengers were to attend a ceremony marking the 70th anniversary of the Katyn Forest Massacre. And the Polish people were absolutely convinced, and still are, that the victims were that they were all victims of a communist terror campaign which had assassinated their president and the senior leaders at the eve of the most important and solemn anniversary of this massacre. And many observed it was just like the assassination of the Poland's wartime leader, General Władysław Sikorski, in July 1943. And so in the furor following this death flight of the Polish government that were going to the memorial, the Russian Duma finally acknowledged Russia's guilt for the Katyn Forest massacre and handed over a lot of the documents. Every Soviet leader had to deal with the Polish charge of the Katyn Forest massacre. Vladimir Putin released the facts that now enable us to work out what was going on. The Polish Solidarity governments of the 1980s were using underground printing presses to expose the Soviet duplicity and to present the facts of the Katyn Forest massacre. But only after Vladimir Putin have we had all the facts to know what was going on. The evidence is there. Mikhail Gorbachev knew about it. He had, every single Soviet leader had asked for the Katyn files and had examined them and were well aware what had happened, even while they were lying about it, including Gorbachev. And so Gorbachev's Politburo proposed in 1988 to build a memorial to the victims of the massacre, quote-unquote, executed by Hitlerites in Katyn, alongside a memorial to 500 Soviet prisoners of war supposedly also killed at Katyn by the Germans, which are a complete myth created by the Badenko Commission with absolutely no evidence that anything like that happened at all. Gorbachev then offered the Poles a simplified procedure for their relatives to visit the sites where their loved ones lay buried. However, the Polish historians tenaciously exposed the Russian responsibility, and the Catholic Church in Poland labeled the Katyn massacre one of the worst crimes in the history of mankind. Gorbachev's trusted advisor, Valentin Falin, reported that the Polish historians subverted the Soviet Commission by producing their own evidence and exposing the 1944 Badenko Commission as spurious, to put it nicely. Without waiting for the Soviet Commission's response, the Poles began publishing the facts, and the problem just stubbornly refused to go away. I mean, facts are stubborn things. So the communist puppet government of Jaruzelski was forced to admit the liquidation of Polish officers was the responsibility of the Soviet Union, and he was just a puppet of the Soviet Union himself, but he had no choice. The people in Poland were adamant. So on the symbolic date of 13th April 1990, 47 years after Berlin Radio had announced the discovery of the massacre, and 50 years after the massacre itself, Gorbachev handed over two boxes of evidence to the Poles. And the documents made clear the Katyn massacre was the work of the head of the NKVD, Lavrenty Beria. And Gorbachev attempted to convince the Poles that more than 20,000 Polish nationals had been executed by the Soviet police chief without any authority from the Soviet Politburo. Well, this deception was, of course, rejected with the contempt it deserved. This limited confession and further attempts at deception only enraged the Polish people further. Investigation conducted by the Prosecutor Office of the Soviet Union in 1991, later the Russian Federation, confirmed the Soviet responsibility for the massacres. But the Russian Federation now tried to diminish the number of deaths to 1,803 Polish citizens. And Gorbachev also refused to classify the action as a war crime or even as an act of genocide. They declared the investigation is closed because the perpetrators of the massacre are already dead. Well, in October 1992, Boris Yeltsin, who replaced Gorbachev, lowered the Soviet flag, abolished the Soviet Union, and handed over newly found secret documents from the Soviet archives to the Polish president, Lech Walesa. And the Politburo order dated 5th of March 1940 was entitled Question of the NKVD. In it, Beria informed Stalin 14,736 Polish officers, officials, police officials, gendarmes, other intellectuals were being held in prison camps in occupied Polish territory, and that 18,632 similar people were being held in camps in the western provinces of Ukraine and Belarus. Beria asked Stalin for permission to shoot them all. Stalin's in favor, and his bold signature scrawled across the top of Beria's question. I've got that picture depicted in our article on Frontline missionsa.org website on Katyn massacre and all the details. We've got lots of pictures, including the maps and this famous order, which was now released by Boris Yeltsin. And so of the total killed, 8,000 were Polish military officers taken prisoner during September 1939 when the Soviet Union invaded Poland. Another 6,000 were police officers, the rest being Polish intelligentsia arrested for being bourgeois. They were intellectuals and so on. So the Katyn Forest massacre was justified by the Soviet Politburo of Stalin as necessary to deprive a potential future Poland of its leadership. And since Russia intended to keep the eastern portion of Poland, half of Poland was annexed by the Soviet Union at the end of the Second World War, he was determined to deprive it of a large proportion of its military and intellectual elite. It's just staggering to think what a country can lose when you kill their top intellectuals. And this is about the most complete wiping out of the leadership of a country. In the first batch alone was an admiral, two generals, 24 colonels, 79 lieutenant colonels, 258 majors, 652 captains, 17 naval captains, 3,420 NCOs, 7 chaplains, 20 university professors, 300 physicians, hundreds of lawyers, engineers, and teachers, more than 100 journalists and writers, more than 200 pilots. Altogether, during Damascus, the NKVD murdered 14 Polish generals. Vasily Mikhailovich Blonkin, the chief executioner of the NKVD, reportedly personally shot 7,000 of the condemned from the Ostakov camp over a period of 28 days in April 1940. He marked his hand was sore from the recoil of the pistols. He had people standing next to him just reloading the guns, and one by one people brought, and he was behind it all, and he just shot them in the base of the neck. So the biggest mass murder in history, Vasily Blonkin. 7,000 people personally shot by him in 1 month. Now, further documents revealed every Soviet chairman since Stalin had signed out the Politburo's Katyn file. Every leader of Russia was well aware of the Russian complicity in this crime, but they all lied. In a memo dated 1959 to Chairman Khrushchev, Interior Minister Alexander Shlepin reported, "The Committee of State Security has held since 1940 case files and other materials regarding prisoners and interned officers, policemen, gendarmes, military settlers, landowners, etc., people from former bourgeois Poland who were shot in the same year. In all, on the basis of the decision of a special troika of the Soviet Union Politburo, 21,857 Poles were shot. The entire operation was carried out on the basis of a decision of the Central Committee, 5 March 1940. Since 1940, no information from these files has been released to anyone outside the Politburo. All of these files, numbering 21,857 files, have been stored in a sealed location. To the Soviet organs, all these files represent neither operational interest nor historic value. It is also doubtful that they could be of any real value to our Polish friends," meaning the Communist Party in Poland. "Quite the contrary, any unforeseen incident may lead to revealing this operation with all the undesirable consequences for our state. This is especially so because regarding those shot in the Katyn forest, there's an official version supported by an investigation carried out by the initiative of the Soviet states in 1944 by the Badenko Commission, which concluded all the Poles liquidated there are considered to have been killed by the Germans. The conclusions of the commission became firmly established in international public opinion. It seems appropriate to destroy all the records regarding the person shot in 1940 in the above-mentioned operation." And Schlippen's recommendations to purge the records were carried out with over 21,000 case files destroyed. However, the Politburo execution order and a memo from Beria remained in the official record. Files later released from Gorbachev's time included advice from advisors that should the truth of the Katyn forest massacre ever come out, people could be convinced that the Soviet Union was no better than and may have been worse than Nazi Germany during the war, and that the Soviet Union bears no less responsibility for the war. Well, you wouldn't want that now, would you? So Polish historians point out that during the 1930s, hundreds of thousands of Poles living in the western areas of the Soviet Union were marked out for persecution by Stalin, either execution or deportation to Central Asia. And the Soviet invasion of Poland in September 1939 was followed by waves of arrests, mass deportations to the east, Siberia and so on. When the Katyn forest massacre took place, there were hundreds of thousands of Poles, mostly the better educated, economically active citizens, already in exile in Siberia, the Arctic hellholes of Russia, or in the labor camps in Central Asia, the Gulag. They were herded there in horribly overcrowded freight trains. At least one out of every five of them died during transportation to the Soviet concentration camps, and many afterwards too. Between 320,000, possibly up to 1 million Polish citizens were deported to the Soviet Union. And of one group of 12,000 Polish citizens incarcerated in Dolosky near Koloma, which is a major concentration camp, only 583 of the 12,000 survived by 1942. We don't know if any survived the war. Over 570,000 Polish citizens were arrested, incarcerated in concentration camps by the Soviets during the war. And these Polish prisoners were subjected to lengthy interrogations between 1939 and 1940. And these interviews were actually a selection process to determine who would live and who would die. And according to NKVD reports, if the prisoners could not be persuaded to adopt a pro-communist attitude, they were declared hardened and uncompromising enemies of Soviet authority and condemned to death. So when Germany launched Operation Barbarossa in the summer of 1941, the NKVD concentration camps massacred thousands of more Polish prisoners before fleeing eastward to avoid the German advance. And when the war was reaching its end and the Red Army was at the very gates of Warsaw, radio broadcasts from Russia urged the Polish citizens, rise up and revolt. And the Soviet army was ordered to stand by. And the Red Army was ordered to render no assistance to the Polish Home Guard and resistance in the Warsaw Uprising. And it was during that Warsaw Uprising that only the South African Air Force flew in supplies and aid. Stalin said, it's better that all resistance in Poland be crushed before Russia occupies. So they basically incited them to stand up so that Germany could crush the future resistance in Poland when the Soviets controlled it.
Do you know if there's been any, backtracking in terms of Commission of the War Nuremberg Tribunal?
I mean, as far as I know, the Allies have never admitted, the British and Americans and French have never admitted that they committed judicial fraud and admitted to the facts that even on this occasion it's a lie, because as far as I know, the history books still state the lie that the Germans did the atrocity of the Katyn Forest Massacre. And so you can't trust anything that these guys are doing. They lied about absolutely everything. And then they killed those who wanted to investigate further.
Yeah, so that just puts the Nuremberg Tribunal into a very bad light.
Well, it's unprecedented in history. Mm. I mean, where was the equivalent of Nuremberg trials after the fall of the Soviet Union and Ceausescu's regime in Romania and all the others? And you can think, Mugabe's now dead in Zimbabwe, but where's the tribunal for what ZANU-PF did in Zimbabwe? And you can continue, Cambodia, Laos, China. Where are any of the people guilty of these atrocities called to account? Just take another one, which is another lie told to us by the Second World War historians, that, we were fighting for democracy and freedom and liberating and so on. They keep speaking about, the American troops liberated this area and that. Well, not the Russians and Ukrainians. 3 million Russians, Ukrainians, and other East Europeans like Latvians, Lithuanians, Estonians were forcibly taken at point of bayonet across the bridge and into the hands of the Soviet NKVD. So they called it Operation Keelhaul, in accordance with the agreement reached with Stalin at the Yalta Agreement. Every Russian or Ukrainian or East European, even if they'd never even lived there, even if they were born in Western Europe, because many of these Russians and Ukrainians in Western Europe, their parents had fled the Bolshevik Revolution and their children had never even lived in Russia or the Soviet Union. And they were also forced, right down to babies, to be handed over to NKVD. And it's absolutely horrific reading The Last Secret and about Operation Keelhaul. Absolutely shocking. And that's definitely not The Last Secret, but that was the name of the book in 1974. Because 30 years they sealed the files of Yalta Agreement and the Operation Keelhaul. Americans, British, French forcibly moved 3 million Russians and Ukrainian refugees living in Western Europe into the hands of the Soviet Union. There were many cases where they actually caught Germans who were flying in Luftwaffe, for example, like Eric Hartmann, the top fighter ace of all time, who shot down over 350 Soviet aircraft. When he flew his Messerschmitt into the West to surrender to the Americans, he thought he'd be safe. No, they forced him back across the border into the hands of the Soviets so he could work for 10 years as a slave in the Arctic hellholes of the Gulag in Siberia. So, Operation Keelhaul and so on, absolutely disgusting, including the poor Cossacks and others, right down to babies, women, children, forcibly, and now they want to talk about we fought for freedom and democracy. So you can understand why there's a lot of Christians in Eastern Europe feeling quite bitter and not trusting a word that the West has to say about anything.
Oh. Dr. Hammond, where can listeners learn more about this and other previously hidden facts of recent history?
Well, one thing is I'd encourage people to go on to a site on YouTube on Eastern European films. And Eastern European films has got the film Katyn, K-A-T-Y-N. It's a Polish film with English subtitles, well worth seeing, well presented, an absolutely outstanding one. There's a film I haven't managed to get hold of yet, but I've just seen the trailer, and it's a Polish film with English subtitles of the assassination of General Sikorski. I think it's called General Attempt at Gibraltar. And I must still get that film. If someone finds it, please pass it on to me. If you go onto our website, frontlinemissionsa.org, and even Henry Morton Stanley School of Christian Journalism, you'll find articles I've written on this, which gives all the text of what I've been sharing today, and more pictures. And there's also videos that I've done on Katyn Forest Massacre and Do Not Be Deceived and How Propaganda Changes Perceptions in People. The Greatest Killer, which is an expose on communism, Death by Government, Communist Liberation. Some of the books I've referenced in this presentation is Katyn, The Untold Story of Stalin's Polish Massacre by Alan Paul, published by Schreiber in 1991. There's Katyn and the Soviet Massacre of 1940, Truth, Justice and Memory by Colonel George Stanford, 2005. There's Katyn, A Crime Without Punishment by Anna Sincelia, published by Joel University Press, J-O-E-L University Press, 2007. Class Cleansing, The Katyn Massacre by Victor Zaslavsky, Telos Press, 2008. World War II Behind Closed Doors by Lawrence Rees, Random House, 2010. Katyn, Stalin's Massacre and the Triumph of Truth by Alan Paul, Northern Illinois University, in 2010. So those are some of the official records on it. There's also, of course, Freedom Betrayed by President Hoover. Freedom Betrayed. And there's Pat Buchanan's Churchill, Hitler, and the Unnecessary War, how Britain lost the Empire and the West lost the world. Those are also very helpful. Death by Government is super helpful as well. That's statistics of communist atrocities. Then there's The Black Book of Communism, which is very helpful because published by six ex-communists, including the editor of Communisme magazine, virtually the entire Communist Party leadership of France at the time, and from the Soviets' own records documenting the millions of people killed. It's something like 100 million confirmed murdered, according to own records, by communist governments since 1917 to 1991 alone. Of course, it doesn't include all the atrocities in Red China because we don't have access to their files yet. Hmm. One day somebody will.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Hammond, for shining light in a dark corner of history. In closing, let's read 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. Thank you very much for joining us for From the Frontline. God bless and good night.